We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So Christmas, an amazing time. You know, there's it's just this wonderful time of the year where there's just excitement. There's just a merriness, a spirit of merriness, a spirit of joy all around us. There's a spirit of warmth all around us. It's something that, do you know what? I do wonder how unbelievers deal with this, because you've got this thing with Christmas where there's this all this joy, this merriness, and this happiness, but you don't believe in Christ, so you don't really know what to do with it, but you're happy on this season when it's Christmas. So it's an amazing time of the year. It's one that I know I look forward to. For some people, Christmas is a season where they look forward to presents. For some people, Christmas is a time where it's just really the Christmas vibes, where you're excited about the lighting, you're excited about the decor, the food. You know, the only time of the year you can take as many plates and no one judges you. It's just in the Christmas movies and that whole sort of like Home Alone setup, really. And for some of us, it's a great time to be off work, to kick back, to spend time with family, to reconnect with family, and just really enjoy time at home with family. So generally, what I find is Christmas is a time where people are much more happier, they're much more nicer, they're much more kinder. There's like an infectious joy in the air that's just going around. I'll share this. Once upon a time, I used to be a pizza delivery driver. You get to see a lot when you're a pizza delivery driver. So you'll be driving around the neighborhood, you'll be going into people's homes, and you just notice during the seasons of the year, different things stand out. One of the things that used to stand out around Christmas, I think I did the job, it covered two Christmases, a span of two Christmases. One of the things that used to stand out for me was how generous people are during Christmas. Yes, you know who's been a driver with the amens. So let me explain. So what you would normally find, I remember this blew my mind. You get there, there's all the excitement and everything, and I literally remember someone, I give them their food, thank me, and then they thank me with a tip. But that's not what was unusual. What was unusual is their tip was actually more than the food that they ordered. And that surprised me, but also, that happened quite a lot. And I'm observant, so I could see that seemed to only happen around Christmas. Other times of the year, I don't know what happened, but that seemed to happen a lot around Christmas. So it's quite clear that in this season of Christmas, there's like a spirit of joy, and people are just happy, and they're like, I just want to make you happy. Here's something to make you happy. Everyone is merry. Everyone is just excited about the season. Now, Christmas, the whole idea of experiencing Christmas, right? Your experience of Christmas is a result of your priorities. What am I talking about? What I'm saying is the way you experience and enjoy Christmas is dependent on you and on what you prioritize. So a better way of saying it is, before going into Christmas, one of the key questions to ask yourselves might be, what is my priorities for this Christmas? What is my priorities this Christmas? I don't know how many of you actually ask yourself these questions, but it's a very good question. And today, we've been going through the Advent series where we've learned about a few different characters in the story of Christmas. And today, we're going to touch on a few of them and also just find out, what were their priorities in the first Christmas? How did it pan out for them with the things that they prioritized as they went into the first Christmas? Amen. Amen. So, media team, for our reading, if you could put for me on the screen Luke 2, 1 to 21, please. I'll read. So it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped up in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the reading of the Word of God. So today, it didn't capture some of the parts we will cover, but you will have the scriptures later on. But today, as I've already said, we want to explore and cover a few characters in the Christmas story. We want to explore what did they prioritize. First Christmas. The text that I was just reading is just covering the very first Christmas. Now, the very first character that we're going to cover is Herod. Now, Herod was fortunate to hear all about Christmas from the wise men and the scribes around him. He had the fortune of having the front seat to be told about Christmas by the best people that could tell him about Christmas, the scribes that had been devoted to studying the Word of God, and obviously the wise men, whom it looks like same thing was happening to them. And he had first row seat, and they were telling him about this amazing story, this beautiful event that is happening, this story of Christmas. But the good news of Christmas, though being shared with Herod, he couldn't digest it the way that it's meant to be digested. Herod was way too focused on himself. He could not see the beauty of Christmas. The Word of God in Matthew 2 tells us that when he heard the news, it actually said he was disturbed. When he heard this great news, imagine hearing great news. It says he was disturbed. Herod was angry. He was upset. He was what we call in this day, he was low-key fuming, because what he did is he didn't even express it. He just pretended like everything was okay, and he was like, "Oh, I also want to see this kid. Go tell me where he is, and I'll also go and worship him like you." But he was low-key fuming. He was angry. He was not a happy man. Now, we know this, that Herod had one priority in mind. What was Herod's priority? His priority was to eliminate this new king. You see, Herod didn't want to be dethroned. In Herod's eyes, the gift of Christmas to him was nothing but a threat to his throne. The gift of Christmas to him, Jesus to him, was an enemy, or he was a threat to be eliminated. He was an enemy to his priorities, so he wanted to take him out. You see, for Herod, it was all about him. And the thing is, unfortunately, the same hedonistic spirit that was on Herod at that time is still present even in our day right now. We have so many people that are keen to celebrate Christmas, and yet those people are also desperate to eliminate the Christ from Christmas. Christmas offers us an opportunity to celebrate the new king, the birth of the new king in our lives. It offers us to celebrate the King of Kings in our lives, Jesus Christ himself. He is the Prince of Peace that sits on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice, righteousness forevermore. Now, let's dig deep into Herod. There is a lot said about Herod, even outside the Bible. When you there's some historian. One I'll focus on today is Josephus. There's another one called Microbius or something like that, who also covered his really fascinating life. But just a quick overview of this man here, who hears the great news about Christmas, rejects it, tries to eliminate the Christ from Christmas. That was his priority. Let's see what happens in his life. Now, Josephus tells us that Herod had 10 wives, about 10 wives. It says he also had concubines as well. He had many sons. Now, Herod was a really strange guy. So one of the things that he did is he was well known for being ruthless with execution, to the extent that Augustus at one point made a comment about, "I would rather be one of Herod's pigs than his sons," because Herod was merciless with execution. I'll take you through it. He executed one of his wives called Miriam, who apparently was his favorite wife. Out of jealousy, he executed her. He executed his mother-in-law, the mother of this Miriam, after getting her to incriminate her own daughter by lying so that she could be also put to death, and then he executed her as well. He executed his brother-in-law. He executed some of his uncles. He executed his sons because he had this paranoia that because he had loads of sons with these 10 wives, and there was all sorts going on there where there was elements of, apparently there were attempts of poisoning each other so that they could be next in line and all that stuff. But all these things were happening around this man. And this man, this is how he was running his life. This is what was happening to this man as the king of his life. And yet he rejected the King of Kings coming into his life. His life was chaotic. His life was chaotic. You see, when we are in charge, when we are set on the throne, our lives are full of conflict. They are full of injustice. They are full of wickedness. When Jesus reigns, he ushers in peace, justice, and righteousness in our lives. Herod made the mistake of not understanding that the story of Christmas offers you a great opportunity to move away from the throne and crown the King of Kings as the ruler of your life. Hand over the reins. This Christmas, I want to encourage us. I don't know what your priorities are, but beware of Herod's priorities this Christmas. Another character that I want to cover is the innkeeper. Now, we're not really told a lot about the innkeeper. In fact, I believe there's probably one or two lines about him. They don't even mention him by name. So there's very few said about him. So what we have to do naturally is just have to read in between the lines, read in the Gospels and putting them together. So what do we know? Well, we know that Mary and Joseph were back in Bethlehem looking for accommodation. They would have approached the innkeeper looking for accommodation. We know that there was no room for them. We know that they ended up in a stable. We know that when the shepherds came to see the baby, they found the baby lying in the manger. Now, when I think of the innkeeper, I can't help but be reminded of what Jesus later on said to the Samaritan woman at the well. Listen to what Jesus said. "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." If the innkeeper had any idea who Mary was carrying when she was asking for a room. I tell you, I assure you, he would have given up his own and said, please stay in my home. I will stay wherever it takes. In fact, this little boy, this little king, when he's born, he just would ask him, can you spare me a room at your father's house? Because he would have had the understanding of who is he sparing his room for. He missed the very thing that this woman at the well here captured very well later on. You see, the innkeeper was busy, and I mean, given the season, you can't blame him. It was a census. People were coming in from all over, so it is a very busy period. It is a very busy period, so he was very busy. He was caught up in what was happening around him. Now, like I say, there's no issue with being busy. No issue at all. The only thing here is the innkeeper was so caught up in the business of people coming in and bringing in business that he actually missed the main business that was on the agenda in Bethlehem on that day. He missed the business that was God in flesh stepping onto earth to come and dwell amongst his people. He missed it. He was so consumed. He was so busy. He banished it to his backyard. Imagine such a wonderful miracle happening at your doorstep, but you don't even recognize it. You are so busy, consumed, you banish it to your backyard. That's what happened to the innkeeper. Now, what can we learn from this? Like I say, there's nothing wrong with being busy on Christmas. You know, the turkey is not going to cook itself. The food needs to be prepared. Presents need to be wrapped and bought and everything. It's a busy period. There's no doubt about it. But where you may be missing it is where you get so consumed with the season and the things around Christmas that you end up missing the reason for the season. Church, we can't be so busy in our lives that we end up losing sensitivity, that when God knocks on our door asking for room, we can't even sense that it's God. Now, you might be said then, you may be thinking, okay, hold on, like that's quite unfair because it's quite busy, him sensing that it's God, that's quite a lot you're putting on him. He was just a man just doing business. Well, I would hear your argument. The only argument against that is there's a story of these three wise men who happened to not even be in the country. But guess what? These wise men had enough sensitivity from far off, wherever they were, to look unto God, to keep an arch, to keep a watch, to keep attentive, and they were able to tell what time it was. They were able to keep a track of things and say, it is time. The King of Kings has been born. So how is it possible that men that are living in another country had enough sensitivity to be able to tell that the Son of God is here, and the man staying in Bethlehem was not able to actually realize that that was the case when the opportunity knocked on his door? You know, it gets even more stranger when you then find out there was the shepherds, right? The other people that the angels came to reveal that the Son of God is here. And when you read the text of what actually was happening when the angels came to the shepherds, it says that the shepherds were keeping a watch over the flock, right? They were keeping a watch. We know that the wise men had also been keeping a watch. What happens exactly when you are keeping a watch over something? It doesn't mean like when it says they were keeping a watch over their flock. It's not implying that they were staring at sheep without blinking and not looking anywhere else. No. What it's talking about is those people, they were alert. They were sensitive. It means that their eyes were scanning around. It means that their ears were attentive. They were scanning around. They were looking out for any danger that may arise. They were looking out for any irregularities that may arise. If anything that looked out of the ordinary happened, they would have been able to spot it. It would look like the issue of the innkeeper has got nothing. It would look like God has got no issue with people that are busy. It would look like the issue that was happening here with the innkeeper was just simply a matter of everyone is busy. Everyone can be busy. The issue of alertness is what plays a key factor on missing God. Now, I was actually thinking about this a little bit more, and I was thinking, I wonder if this innkeeper would have been able to, he would have been able to show up a little bit more in the Bible. What am I talking about? Okay, so picture this story a little bit different. Let's picture him being attentive. Let's picture him being alert. He lets Mary and Joseph in the house. He even gives them his own accommodation. I wonder if there would just be one line about him in the Bible, or whether there'll be a little bit more about the men who went the extra mile to make room for Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus when he was born. You see, he was so consumed, he was so busy, he couldn't even see what was knocking at his front door. What does this have to do with you and I this Christmas, you may be wondering? Okay, so Jesus speaking to Matthew 25:37 reads, "Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" You see, you never know who you're entertaining. If the innkeeper had the watchfulness of the wise men and the shepherd, I believe that there will be a lot more material written about him in the story of Christmas. Maybe not being watchful caused this man playing a big part in one of the greatest events that ever took place. In this season of Christmas, I want to encourage us to be watchful, to be alert, to be sensitive. Even as we enjoy Christmas, we can't afford to miss, to neglect these things, because as we can see here, they cost the innkeeper a very big part in the Christmas story. You know what I found amazing when I was actually reading the bit about the shepherds, the wise men, when they actually walk in, notice their words is, if you put Matthew 2:2, it actually says when they walked in, they were saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They didn't walk in and say, "Has he been born yet?" They knew he had been born, and they knew who he was. They were alert to the season, to the times. They were watchful. They were under no confusion at all, which is something that we can take on this Christmas and learn from them. I'll just move to the last group of people that I want us to look at today, which is the wise men and the shepherd. And Sam Wayo last week did a great job in covering the story of the shepherds. We learned that we are meant to respond like the shepherds. Well, what did the shepherds do? The shepherds received the good news. They responded to the good news. They rejoiced to the good news, and they retold the good news. The wise men, the Magi, they paid attention to the times. They saw the Star of David rise. They understood what time it was and set off to find this newborn king to worship him. Now, this was no small journey. These men didn't have a Boeing 707 to take them to Bethlehem. They would have gone on donkey. What that means is, if they got this wrong, this was a very disappointing journey back to Persia from wherever they came from. So these men put all that aside, remained watchful, and they were convinced that they believed that the Star of David was leading them to the king, to the Messiah. And they followed without question, and they went seeking. Now, some historians link the Magi to the times of Daniel when he was in Babylon, which is in Persia, which the men were from the east as well, which is Persia. Daniel 2:48 talks about when Nebuchadnezzar regains his senses, he makes him chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, it's just a link. We don't know if that's the case, but it points out that he was chief prefect amongst the wise men in Babylon. And we also know that if that was the case, with how Daniel was not ashamed of God, he would have told the story to these wise men about Jesus, about his God, and the story of God. We even know that in Daniel 9, Daniel actually received a prophecy, and we get the prophecy of when the Messiah was to be born. If you read further in the Old Testament, you know that Micah 5 and the rest of the texts help us narrow down when the Messiah was to be born, where was he to be born, to which genealogy was he to be born to, etc. So you can start putting it together, you can start piecing it together, and you'll be able to find out who Jesus really was according to scriptures. Now, it is possible that these three wise men would have studied Daniel's prophetic teachings and came to the conclusion that this was the time, this is it, this was the time for the king to be born. Now, what's the deal with the wise men? What's the deal with the shepherds? The wise men and the shepherds turning up to see Jesus was not a random visit. It wasn't like, a photo ops of Jesus didn't have enough visitors. And they just needed some people to take pictures with the kettle and whatever. But there was a reason behind their visit. There was a reason behind the shepherds and the wise men coming to visit Jesus. Now, what was the reason? They were both called to come and witness the birth of Jesus. What am I talking about? Let's take the shepherds. If you ever needed an expert who would be able to identify a lamb without blemish that was perfect for sacrifice, who would you go to? You'd go to the shepherds. They literally spend their time with lambs. They will be able to tell you that one is perfect. That one is the one you can take for sacrifice. So it's no wonder that God calls the shepherds to come and witness the birth of the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God without blemish. They have been able to identify blemishless lambs in their flock, and God calls them to come and witness the perfect Lamb of God who takes up our sin. So the shepherds were called to come and witness the birth of Jesus. The wise men, I think I covered this last time, that the wise men came with the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and we know that the gifts had different meaning. Gold was for gift for a king. Frankincense is linked to worship, divinity, and myrrh is an embalming oil, which was obviously talking of the death of Christ. Now, again, if you were to identify divine king, who better to call than the wise men? You see, where did those wise men spend most of their time? We know that in those times, wise men were in the court of the kings. We know that these wise men will be the council of the kings. We know that they'll be able to tell a king that this is not the conduct of the kings, you know, that came before you that was successful. They understood royalty, able to support divinity. And what more, if these men are the same men that have been coming from the school of Daniel, if it's been passed down the line, they would have been able to study the scriptures and understand that the king that Daniel was talking about was very distinct. So it would make sense that they will be the ones who come and actually witness this birth and say, I can confirm that this is the king that matches what Daniel is talking about in Daniel 9. So we can see that the shepherds, the wise men, were called to be witnesses of the birth of Christ. What does that have to do with you and I? Okay, you and I have seen the Lamb of God. What does that have to do with you and I? The wise men, they understood royalty. You and I understand God's kingdom. We understand that at every knee shall bow down at the name of Jesus. We understand how his kingdom works. So just like the shepherds, just like the wise men, with all that we now know, similar to them, we are called to witness to people this Christmas. This is why the shepherds go out and witness the good news to the people, because they were called to be witnesses of the birth of Christ. If anyone is to actually believe the story of Christmas, it needs to come from you, because it's personal. You've experienced the forgiveness of your sins. You've experienced it freeing you up. If anyone is to believe that Jesus is king, it needs to come from you, because you've experienced the King of Kings bringing down demons that would have been tormenting you or people or family around you for years, but at the name of Jesus, those demons came down. So you are the best person to go out and witness and say, that is him. That is the Lamb of God. That is the King of Kings. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Church, it is our duty. It is our responsibility. It should be our priority this Christmas, that even as we enjoy Christmas, we make sure that we witness to others who do not know Jesus about the Messiah, the King, Jesus Christ. In closing, I just want to, we will circle around Luke 2:13. You don't have to put it on the screen. I'm just giving you what's happening. Christmas is a beautiful time, as we've covered. It's a time for celebration. It's a merry time. It's a time to remember the goodness of God is around us. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to ask us in closing, we're going to stand up at some point, and we're going to sing a carol. Don't worry if you don't know it, we will learn it. We will learn it together. But why this carol? Well, I this is my belief. The carol is called The Holy City. For some of you may know it. I believe that this carol captures perfectly what happened in Luke 2:13. This is the scene where the angel shows up, and then a multitude of angels show up. Now, what I believe was happening there is the angels in heaven couldn't even contain their joy. They were looking at what was happening, and they said, I don't think these humans understand what just happened. The key to the Holy City of God just landed on earth, and I don't think they understand. The angels were like, I gotta come and scream on earth and help them realize who is here. So the word of God tells us that they appeared and that they were praising God, they were glorifying God and saying, glory to God, to those loved by God, goodwill on them. It basically, they were expressing that this is an amazing gift for you guys. Now I want us to sing the Christmas carol, The Holy City. I strongly believe that this is not theology, this is just my mind speaking. I strongly believe that the echoes of the joy of the angels over 2,000 years ago are still what we feel resounding around Christmas right now. There's a joy that can't be explained around Christmas, and I think it's the same joy that the angels were trying to basically bring and say, guys, this is amazing. And I think that is the same joy we can still feel resounding, echoing through the praises of the angels as they came to say, God is too good. You don't know what he just did for you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.